Don't the Brass Sox.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing, Livy?
Good afternoon.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon. How are you doing? You all
I'm
right?
I'm okay, Andrew. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm in my second time calling. It's so long and it can't be at work now. This program, boy, it's chaos. Listen, I don't know if you realize it, but both of these telecom companies are creating some issues in Barbados. And I think we need a fair trading to really look into it. You are paying both of the internet providers. If you are paying for, say, 40 megabytes on the internet, sometimes you get 8, sometimes you get 10. If you're paying for 50, sometimes you're getting 35. This is all right. If you go to the gas station and you buy a gallon of gas, and they give you less than a gallon or less than a liter, you will say they're stealing. And I wonder what can be done. I know they're even asking for, I think, some more money. You have any views on this?
Well, you know, from the time I go back to the period when the laws were changed and Barbados said it was liberalizing telecoms. And yes, we opened it up so that anybody could come in, but
you go way back.
At the end of it all, there's been a consolidation of the telecoms power in the country. This one cries out more and more for the attention of the regulators. That's why they are there.
And the fair trading too.
They're the regulator when it comes to especially the mobile communication and stuff. They're a regulator. They tend to regulate more the land-based component of it. But even there, they perhaps may well be some need to discuss, to examine the passage of time. The regulators should not have a greater degree of oversight. But I don't know all the intricacies associated with this particular field and what it is that they can do. But
they're doing as they like, because you got the school children home now, and you have various, you know, now the tablets, the computer. And they're saying, no, you're even hearing this rumor now that at certain times of day, the amount, the volume on the internet is causing you to get a lower than what you're supposed to be getting. This is wrong. You're paying for a service. They should give you what you're paying for. And this is the issue.
You know what you're likely to hear from them, though? Because in all of this, you may hear only one side of the story. And we may be looking at it from our angle as consumers.
True. What
they may well be telling you is that they have this issue, that issue, and when you pull everything together to be able to give the service that you are requiring, it will be more, it will cost you more.
Well, they're trying to cap their money. No, because, and I think this is the reason, because of the these boxes where people are getting, you know, getting more movies, more channels to watch sports and other areas than what, you know, the local provider is providing. And I think this is a serious issue need to be looked at, because in other Caribbean countries, people are seeing these things and getting good service. But right here, no, we are saying, because I spoke with someone overseas, right now we are saying that we can got to pay more for the internet or pay more for service to get these things, which is wrong. You got children at home using the computers, the laptops, the phones, everything. Like, your home no zooming. That's pulling from your service too. If you don't recognize that.
Yeah. All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Another point to make.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, with the lawyers, as I see administration come in and the same thing is going on. These lawyers are getting away with the same fools again. People are getting their money from the insurance company, and lawyers still holding the money. I wonder how long. I thought when the administration come, they said they were going to look at these issues. But lawyers seems to be getting away with, I don't know, in Barbados. You got people who get billed for 15 and 16 years and cannot get the funds, the money. The lawyer got the funds and use them for their own, you know, their own personal gain. This is wrong. And I don't know how we can get it solved with all our ministers, our lawyers, and their control of the show.
Well, you know, If there's one thing that you learn in the passage of time, is that in many instances, the more things change, the more they remain the same. Other administrations can come and talk and give you a lot of hope and promise, and they can deliver on some of them, huh?
I agree.
But there are many that they're difficult to change because of the culture and the structure of things in the country. And sometimes when you try to change them, you could come up against a lot of resistance, especially if the consultative process is poor. Because if you don't tell people what you're doing, and if you try to be high-handed and impose change, people start to, people want to
David,
be, to have a, even if they don't participate, they want to feel as though they have an opportunity to say something about it. But just look around you. Just look around and count the many things that
happening.
we've been complaining about for so
And nothing
long.
seems to be happening. Nothing is seemed to be
But is it
happening.
because of them, or is it because of us, the
Us?
people who work the
Oh,
system? Those of us who.
I think we are a point to deal with it. You know why? We listen to these people on platforms, and then we put them in, and they come from among us. They go to UE all kind of same system we go through. We then come and ask for vote. We put them there, and they give us all the goodies when they're speaking on this platform. But when they get into power, to me, the politicians tend to look after their own interests or friends or those in close contact with them, but they tend to don't look after the masses.
But that's one side of it. But the masses can be quite demanding too, because
We
we've
know that, we know
also,
that. We
right,
can
so
see
we've
through it, we can
created
see through it.
a country where people expect that the politician will do everything. And after COVID, and the degree to which the state has had to intervene and create more jobs and all of that, out through the window goes this whole concept of private sector led growth, because COVID has said essentially that can't happen now, that has to be postponed. So we might have taken half of a step forward in that regard,
And five backwards.
but we've taken several steps backward as it relates to this whole question of who's going to push this economy. And in those circumstances, you have this deep reliance on political action to achieve things. And it can be, it can become a little bit disheartening to think that this is where
David
we
did
are,
not.
but it is.
David, then we put them there to do, to serve our purpose, so they must take, the political forces must take responsibility. They must, we put them there for that point, to change things, to make a difference. I'm watching our national insurance scheme, and I'm watching what the politicians are going to say.
I think what you need to watch in Barbados more than anything else, sir, is how are we going to reconfigure various sectors of this economy so that we can actually start to earn our way in the world rather than borrow our way in the world. Because that's what we've had to do for quite some time now. You might borrow at concessionary rates,
Take
but
years to pay about.
well, that can be paid back. But if the alternative to that is not borrowing at all, or borrowing at exorbitant rates, where it takes years to pay back, but you pay back so much more money. So this is where we have to put the focus. What are the things that can be done? The unemployed, you know that a lot of the people who got laid off are not going to go back to work in the same jobs in which they were laid off.
Yeah, be true, because a lot of people in their 50s, 60s, and that is an issue, because they say we are aging society, so we
It's
must
not just that.
find
It's not
areas that they can work in.
just that. It is simply that employers, many employers,
Cannot
would
afford
have
to.
loved to be able to reduce staff over time,
Better get it now.
they couldn't easily do it. They can do it now, and therefore they're not going to go back there. So that is going to, you're going to see a significant change in the situation there. Fewer people doing more of the tasks, or there's going to be a move towards greater reliance on technology to get the things done. You can see that coming at you as clear as night follows day. Then the question is, where are these other people going to go? To what industries are they going to turn? How are we going to re-engineer and reconfigure? Because you can't leave them out there unemployed just like that. And they got to earn a living, got, you know, things to do. So that to me is the real test.
I think our skill-based level in the country too is slipping slowly down the train. We need to utilize these areas that the polytechnic, I think, a lot more with these youngsters who are not doing nothing much. No, because we are filling, as you we've been saying, we want a graduate in every home, but then we get this graduate, what are they going to do?
You're going to have to try to find a way to leave the country and send back remittances. Are they trained in? We'll discuss it further. Good afternoon and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks, going until 2 o'clock. It's now 12:47. Who's on the line? Hello?
Good afternoon.
Hey, hello. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yeah, Ms. Ellis, last week you said that I asked you a question concerning the energy minister. You tell me that if you were not sure there was one appointed. And
no, there was a minister. The minister, I didn't clarify it for you, but it's Kerry Simmons is the minister responsible for energy.
Well, because I know that since Darcy Voice, who was the minister in the former government, that there wasn't any mention as such. But now I realize that the new Ambassador Thompson, is given permission for the sea as far as the portfolio is concerned. My question is that I want to know what is the problem concerning the energy ministry, because in a previous booklet, they said that as far as concerned that the development legislation to support an offshore petroleum industry and successfully launched an international bidding program in establishing Barbados as an energy producing country. So I want to know what it is that prevent the move forward towards the energy ministry. I know that they've given that blessings to the St. Lucie in that exercise. But surprisingly, what I have observed that you have not heard of the ministry that you heard of Kerry Simmons as Minister of Foreign Affairs. Then you came back, you heard of small business and that, but you have not heard of him, or you have not heard of a minister responsible for energy. And I think energy was one of the main engine grinders that was portrayed in the previous in the government. Seeing that you have succeeded in getting that far with the under the former minister, which was Alice Thompson, Ambassador Thompson, the situation would merit the fact that the government be able to pursue the energy ministry, based on the fact that this was a survey as far as government money is concerned, and an intake of millions and millions of dollars, because based on the situation as far as the government of the day bidding, I think it was said that the bidding had brought in millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to the exercise. So I'm asking this morning, why is the energy ministry put on the back burner? And we're now finding that they've placed the cannabis industry up ahead and portraying the cannabis industry when it seemed to be starting from scratch, when the energy minister and energy...
Hold on. You got to make a distinction between alternative energy and the search for oil and gas off Barbados, because if you look at what has been done in the alternative energy sector, I don't think anybody can say that has been placed on the back burner. Now, I believe you are talking about offshore drilling in particular. Is that correct?
All of that fall under the energy portfolio.
Well, if you But therefore, I can't see how you can say that in general terms, energy has been given a backseat, because the drive towards the whole alternative energy sector continues. I mean, only this week in the House of Assembly, I heard the minister responsible for energy speak of new initiatives in that regard.
The present minister of energy, said you heard?
Yes.
I didn't know that it was a present minister of energy.
The present minister of energy is Kerry Simmons.
All right, the point I established with you, Mr. Ellis, I'm going to let you go now, that we have had so many gains as far as the energy is concerned. So many gains that we were at the point of even building a new petroleum company here in Barbados. We were at the point where our bidding was closed. I remember the bidding being closed. But if we're now looking at an industry which falls under agriculture, which is going to take a planning and legislation to put in place, I would think that the initiative should be placed on that, because all the legislation for the energy would have gone forward already. It's just a matter of implementing.
Okay, well, I think we have Minister Kerry Simmons on the line. Minister Simmons, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, David. How are you? Good afternoon, Mark.
I'm okay.
I called in, David, because I heard Mark just now. I have heard him on CBC a little early in the week. And I also heard him, I think, last week, towards the end of last week, on this note. And I felt that it was important, even though you're quite right, that I addressed this matter during the presentation that I made in the House on Monday, that I give him an opportunity to speak to me directly
The technical quality is being compromised. I believe that Mark's mic needs to be muted. If we do so, then we will be better able to hear the minister, I think. So let's see if that works. Hello? Yes, minister.
Yes, hi. I don't know if you heard me. I heard you. Okay, fine. Right. So essentially... I was not able to pick up all of the questions that he was asking.
I think his basic position was that, in his judgment, the government has placed greater priority on the movement towards the medicinal cannabis industry than it has been placing on the search for energy. Now, I think it is fair to say that there continues to be a strong thrust on the alternative energy sector, but we don't see a similar push in relation to the exploration for oil, offshore oil, as has been promised. And I think the relevant question to you is, what's been happening in that regard?
Right, fair. And it's a fair question. Let me take you back to about this time last year when we would have signed a unitization agreement with Trinidad and Tobago. And that agreement effectively would say that if there is a find of oil along that border between the two countries, that and the technology now allows for you not only to drill downwards vertically, but laterally across as well. So that you do not want a set of circumstances where there may well be a vein of oil which straddles the territorial waters of the two nations, and only one be able to benefit. Now, obviously, Trinidad has a far superior degree of technological expertise than we do in this sector. And so, therefore, we've gotten an agreement in place where once either side has given licenses to a company that is doing the drilling and the exploration, and there is a find, and it is along that type of border, then we will share the proceeds of the fine. Now, subsequently to that, and that's just around the time that COVID would have caused the first shutdown on the island, there was a pause on all further activity in the offshore sector, largely because it is very foreign-driven, and the circumstances of COVID just simply do not allow for the travel. Do not allow for the intermixing of people and all the other restrictions, and you know them because we still continue to endure that. I had indicated on Monday that we believe that in the second quarter of this year, we can launch a roadshow because we were not just idle during the downtime. The oil and gas sector continues to be very important to Barbados. But you have to do a lot of preparation. It is by no stretch of the imagination a fast food business. So it's not an overnight thing. And to have a series of blocks in our marine space demarcated and identified and then put out for bidding in the form of a what they call a roadshow, where you invite companies in from all around the world to take an interest in our data. And we have the seismic data. We ask people not to take an interest in it and so on. And that will happen in around March or April of this year. Sorry, during March, no, April or May of this year. So the reality is that, you know, the preparation for this reopening of the industry, as it were, has begun. Now, I think Mark, from what I've heard of the previous contribution he made, is quite right. The potential had been marketed very heavily in the past. And I think that one of the things we have to realize is that there has been a pause on the emphasis on this sector for many, many years. And that pause has been because of the fact that people have just simply recognized that if the price of oil is too high, then drilling in the waters off Barbados becomes uncompetitive because you're drilling in extra, what they call ultra deep water. And it really becomes very difficult in order to make it financially feasible. Therefore, we place a lot more emphasis on the renewable energy sector. And quite frankly, for the purposes of domestic use of energy, that is what matters most to Barbados. If we find offshore, it is largely for the purposes of export potential. We do not intend, at least this government's policy is, that it would be for export potential. It is not intended that this be something to replace the emphasis we are putting in renewable energy now, whether that is by photovoltaics, the sunlight captured, or whether it is by wind energy or wave action. All of these are areas that the Ministry of Energy is now looking at. But part of the process, and you will recognize that the government has said that there's a vision for 2030 to free this country of fossil fuel reliance. And part of the process is to place the emphasis, therefore, on renewables. If we find offshore and we are successful, and I want to say it is not an overnight business, I said it before, this is not that. Even if we say, for example, had the roadshow and people took an interest in the month of June, and they were able to begin drilling within a month, a few months, a year after, it is not likely that you're going to be in a position to say that you have been able to see the receipts and the returns on that for another 3, 4, 5 years.
Minister, when this matter first came to the fore, and Barbados went to international arbitration, it was at a point where the price of oil was high, and anyone who struck oil would consider back then that they had struck it rich. However, between then and now, much has changed, and the world is moving faster and faster towards alternative energy. The question is, has that really made a difference to the emphasis that Barbados ought to place on a continued exploration for oil and gas offshore?
No, there is still obviously a global interest in fossil fuels. So if you were to find oil, I have no doubt that given the way the global market is today, planes still fly, boats still sail, et cetera, there will be a demand for oil. The challenge, though, is that obviously, increasingly so, countries are looking to be able to speak to the climate change issues. And the easiest way of helping the climate change problem that the world faces is bringing in an end to the high dependence we have on fossil fuels. But for the interim period, because again, when you look at the times that are set, United States, for example, will have given commitments that they will get to about 80% of their reduction of current usage of fossil fuels by the year 2050. By contrast, we in Barbados are aiming at 2030 for 100% reduction of 100% removal of use of fossil fuel. And other countries go beyond that date. So the reality is that, you know, there's going to be, for the foreseeable future, a continued demand. So, yes, there is some merit to doing the drilling. It is not anything that you or I, David, could have done anything about that. Nothing happened, let us say, in the year 2015 or in the year 2012. But we do know that when we had information that there was a likelihood of a possibility of success out there, that information went back as far as 2007, 2006. So it is a question now of us trying to capture that which we lost over the past decade or so, and to make the most of any available opportunities that continue to exist. But the first priority of the ministry is to put Barbadian consumers in a position where we will be freed of the peaks and troughs in our prices for, in terms of the purchase and importation of fossil fuels, and we will be able to rely on the sunshine and the wind on this island to generate our electricity.
Since you put such an emphasis on the average person, explain for us why, for some, when the price of oil had dipped substantially, we really didn't believe that we saw any substantial reduction in our own prices. And what happens in those circumstances? Where does the money go?
Well, part of the problem is that you would better be able to... Well, first of all, let me say to you that it is a truism to say that when you break down the cost, you are seeing a significant percentage, obviously, in the context of taxation. And we know that none of us pay road tax in Barbados anymore. It has been shifted on to the price at the pump. So there is no tremendous mystery about that. There is a give and take in this thing. But having said that, one of the problems that we do have is that we don't have large resources of capital to sit on and to do the forward buying that many other people do. So that in a situation where I can hedge, I don't want to say a bet, but I can hedge that the price of oil will be X dollars 2-3 years from now or 6 months from now, and you can set aside a portion of money in regard to that type of hedge, you cannot do so very easily given the constraints that we have in Barbados and the National Oil Company. And therefore, we don't benefit from the fluctuations in the way that others are seen to benefit.
Okay. I don't know if Mark has any questions for you or anybody else before we leave you. Hello?
So very easily, given the constraints that we have in Barbados and